I'm Brian Goldfinger of Goldfinger Injury Lawyers. Is your insurance company forcing you to go back to work when your doctors say you can't? If this sounds familiar, look no further than my law firm. Visit goldfingerlaw.com and get us working for you.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu, speaking to you. After the Toronto Raptors wrapped up a very fun victory on Friday night at Scotiabank Arena, winning by a score of 122-105, defeating the Brooklyn Nets. It wasn't a revenge game by any means. I mean, who cares to lose to the Nets early in the year? But the Raptors did lose an OT to the Nets. And the Nets have been playing some pretty good basketball of late. They've put themselves into playoff position, so that's really nice, especially since they lost Caris LeVert, and just really unfortunate how that happened. But, I mean, man, the Raptors just dominated them. I mean, to be fair, I don't think Brooklyn played their best game. I've seen Brooklyn play a lot harder. I've seen Brooklyn be a lot sharper. And today they just, you know, D'Angelo Russell had it, and he was really hot early on. And it kind of reminded me of a game last year where I think D'Lo had like 7 threes in the first quarter, something crazy like that. I mean, it was nuts. But the Raptors came back to win that one, and it was kind of the same thing here. The Nets came out hot. The Raptors decided, okay, we're going to play defense now. The next two quarters, the Raptors held the Nets. So the Raptors conceded 35 points in the first quarter. You know, D'Angelo was really going off. And then, you know, decided to start playing some defense on Vic Mensa, and all of a sudden the Raptors held the Brooklyn Nets to just 40 points over the second and third quarters combined. Meanwhile, the Raptors got a ton of transition points off those stops and scored 71 points of their own over the second and third quarters, and that was the game. I mean, Raptors led by 24 heading into the fourth quarter. The starters didn't have to play any of it. The bench got to play extended minutes. Even CJ Miles got to play 7 minutes and missed three more shots to remind us that, yeah, CJ is just, you know, cursed. But, I mean, in the end, you got eight Raptors finishing double digits. You got 32 assists as a team. The Raptors only turned it over 9 times, which is difficult. The Nets are very pesky. Although I feel like they were without some of their best guys. I mean, like Rondae Hollis Jefferson usually is a pretty good pesky guy, things like that. But, you know, the Raptors, you know, held onto the ball. They executed. They played great defense. They didn't even hit that many shots, really. They only shot 11 of 35 from deep. No McDonald's for you. And also 15 of 24 from the free throw line, which is only 62%. And the Raptors really only shot 46% overall. It was just the Raptors were able to get so many transition opportunities, and they were able to. It's weird to, when you look at the shooting percentages, because the Raptors got a lot of offensive rebounds as well. And ultimately, they ended up taking 105 shots as compared to 85 shots for the Nets. And that was the difference in the game. The Raptors won it on possessions, basically. And it's a feel-good game all around. There's a lot of highlights. A couple of just notes before we go to the three stars. First off, one emerging trend of late has been Kawhi's connection with Pascal Siakam. Something I highlighted in that Hawks game earlier this week where, you know, in that game, Kawhi was setting up in the post and he found Pascal cutting baseline for a couple of plays like that. Today, it was in transition. Kawhi with a no-look dime to Pascal Siakam. Kawhi Leonard, it's hilarious because he is so emotionless on dunks and things like that. Like, he just, like, you know what I mean? Like, the most exciting plays, I chased down, double chase down block against Boston. Like, the no-looks, like, there's no celebration from him. Like, even the most muted, if he does celebrate, it's really muted. Like, in that Hawks game, right? Like, you know, surge dunks or whatever. And there's that picture of Jeremy Lin hitting in the head with a ball. And then also Kawhi Leonard, like, silently fist pumping. Like, that's about as excited as he gets. He doesn't really put flair in what he does. It's a real, like, straight to the point. I'm just going to score. I'm going to stop you. And that's it. I'm going to go home and probably stay inside because it's cold as shit right now. But Kawhi ends up doing a no look. I mean, a look away. I'm not sure if it was a no look or look away. I think it was a look away. But find Siakam in transition for a dunk. And then a couple, you know, minutes later, Kawhi gets to stop. He comes up with a loose ball and then immediately throws a hitter head to Pascal Siakam. I'm thinking like Kyle Lowry-esque efficiency and daring in terms of just like throwing that quick pass, hit ahead. Pascal catches it, you know. I think there was a guy on him, but he was just bigger and he laid it up. And you know how Pascal is in transition. He's money. And so that's nice to see. Those two guys are the Raptors' two best scorers this year, and they really need to get some, like, a good connection going because, you know, before it was sort of like Pascal get a turn and then Kawhi will get a turn. And, you know, you'd like to see them sort of play off of each other. And, you know, I think Kawhi's playmaking just generally has really improved over the last couple of weeks. It's really been a mandate of the team. And, you know, the Raptors have been on the road a lot, so they haven't been able to practice that much. And there's some injuries and shit like that. But, you know, I think Kawhi has really sort of taken on more of the playmaking responsibilities. Obviously, he can get his own shot whenever he wants, but sort of how he can sort of allow the rest of the team to play off of him. And I think right now you're seeing Kawhi and Siakam having some chemistry, which is great. You're also seeing Colin Pascal have some chemistry, which is not a surprise whatsoever. You know, the Raptors went to a very unorthodox 4-1 pick and roll where Pascal was the ball handler and Kyle goes at the ball screen. And basically the whole point of the ball screen was just to sort of delay Jared Allen a little bit because, you know, Pascal was it's hard to finish over, you know, Jared Allen. He's blocked. I mean, he blocked Kawhi today, for example, right? But it was on a layup, but whatever. You know, he's blocked LeBron. He's blocked Blake Griffin. He's blocked Anthony Davis. There's one other guy he blocked. Giannis, right? So, like, he's blocked, like, literally the best finishers in the game. So, you know, as much as Pascal's a great finisher and a great driver, he could use some help in that matchup. And so I thought using Kyle as a screener was really clever because it kind of brought Allen higher up the paint than he really wanted to and also kind of delayed him. So Pascal got a beat. Go to the basket, you can lay it up. I think they ran that play twice. It worked both times. Pascal got to the rim for layups. So, you know, just a clever design overall. I also thought that it was very smart that the Raptors went to Greg Monroe a lot in the post when the Nets would show zone. And it's not a surprise if the teams would zone the Raptors. I really thought it would happen more often. I just think most teams don't have zone in their defensive packages. But, you know, the Raptors are not a very good three-point shooting team, especially off the bench. So, like, it's not a surprise that the Nets went to zone. And, you know, when that happened, though, the Raptors were consistently able to deliver the ball to Greg Monroe in the post. And, you know, that puts the defense in a scramble mode, right? Because, like, look, it's easier when the defense, like, when the offense is in front of you, the ball's in front of you, people are swinging the perimeter. Like, it's easy to play zone in that situation. It's a lot harder when the ball's in the post. And so all of a sudden people are turned around. They're not covering man-to-man. There's a lot more opportunities for back cuts. You know, Monroe's a really good passer. He found OG for a backdoor cut. OG was able to reverse finish two hands. But also Monroe was able to score in the post one-on-one if he needed to. You know, no one was open. Usually he would find somebody open for in the corners for three or, you know, Norm was driving and stuff like that. I mean, cutters, it's a lot easier to beat a zone when you have the ball in the post. But, you know, and the one other luxury with Monroe is that, look, he's bigger than a guy like Ed Davis. And Ed Davis is still a twig. I mean, he's been that way since the Raptors drafted him, you know, way back when, I think 2011. But, yeah, I mean, Monroe would just sort of bully him and then get to the rim and put up the layups. I mean, Monroe's very efficient in his minutes. And it's not a surprise he was a plus 16 in just 15 minutes. A lot of that was him busting the zone. So that was nice to see. But overall, man, I mean, good game all around. Ibaka had a couple moments where he fired up a crowd. We got an offensive rebound after Kawhi tried to go in for a layup, and then Serge got the rebound, and he finished, and he kind of, like, elbowed Damari in the face, and then finished the layup and screamed at the crowd. It was a lot of great moments, really. It's a feel-good win. Kawhi continued his 20-point streak. It's now 18 straight games the man has scored 20 points. I don't feel like we're appreciating that enough. 18 straight games of 20 or more, right? I know we're in, like, this, like, offensively saturated, you know, time in the NBA where, you know, James Harden can score like 30 every night, and that's cool, right? But Kawhi, man, for him to score 20 in 18 straight games it's a testament to how consistent he is, and he really is unstoppable. I mean, the Nets were battering him up and down. He only got one free throw attempt. I mean, whatever. He was still scoring. He got his 20 points. He got his 11 rebounds. He got his assists to Pascal Siakam. Danny Green with some chase down blocks. It was always nice to see. Good defense overall from Danny. Three steals, two blocks, 25 minutes. You know, that's how he does. And then for two threes. Like, the exact perfect 3-and-D guy. But really the highlight from this game was because the starters are playing so well, you know, they could allow the bench to come in and thrive. And the bench came in and thrived. Like, it was like the Pacers game, right? The bench tonight delivered a combined 60 points. OG, 5 of 6 on the field. 2 of 3 from three. It's still wavered from the free throw line, 1 for 4. I mean, that's not a surprise. That's kind of where he's at this year. But really efficient with his offense, you know, picked his spots well. He had a great post-up against Kenneth Faried, or whatever's left of Kenneth Faried. I mean, man, that guy's fallen off. One of Masai's biggest regrets, I think, in terms of signings, although he flipped them real quick. But Oh no, he didn't flip him real quick. That contract stayed on the books forever. But I'm happy the Raptors, by the way, didn't end up trading for Fareed. I feel like there was like a bit of a push for the Raptors to go get Fareed in that like 2017 year before we got Serge. It was like we got to get somebody who was like Derek Favors or players like that. No. Just wait for Pascal Siakam to develop, and that'll take care of itself. Also, Serge is not a bad option. But OG posted up against Fareed. Got him with that spin move, completely lost him, and then went reverse layup with like a little scoop. I mean, it was real, real smooth. And, those are the kind of things where you look at OG and you're like, man, there is more potential there. You just got to really hone it down. You got to get him to stop being so sort of weirdly awkward with his movements. And, but you could see there's talent there, man. So there's that. Monroe, I already mentioned, he was great busting the zone. Powell was very effective going to the basket. Went 0-for-3 from deep, but just really good at getting to the rim, keeping the pass in mind. Thought he was productive. He got a couple bogey fouls caught on him. Damari kind of jumped into his arms a couple times for threes. And I mean, I don't know, man. Damari is pretty good at baiting for those fouls. But Van Vliet was solid off the bench. 10 points, 6 assists, 3 of 8 shooting, 3 of 5. He had a really good move. I think he dropped Shabazz Napier or whatever. But he couldn't actually hit the shot, which is unfortunate. But, Fred, back in a bench capacity, real solid, really helps the bench unit kind of just be steady. Obviously, Kyle coming back allows Fred to come off the bench finally, and it's been good. And then DeLon Wright. The one thing I liked about DeLon today, I mean, first off, his energy changed the game, 3 steals, a couple deflections, things like that, was really effective. But he's kind of done this. I forget which other game he made a point to do this, but I think it was Cleveland. But anyway, he would like go into the post and then really, really make a point to post up against smaller guys, which today that was Shabazz Napier, who is super tiny. And again, every single day she should wake up and thank LeBron. But seriously, DeLon, I mean, he is obviously passive sort of to a fault, a huge fault, really. And he disappears in a lot of games. But like, come on, you're 6'6", you're almost 6'7". Like, you're a tall guy. Like, you should be able to impose your way and impose your will on some of these smaller guards. And I'm happy that he's sort of taken to these weird post-ups. It doesn't look pretty, but it doesn't have to be pretty, man. You just got to go in the post. You got to get a shot up. You got to put it on the glass. It's going to be a good shot for you. And for a guy who can't otherwise create a shot, that's probably something he has to look at. Like, you just got to do that more often. But overall, great game. In terms of your 3 stars, man, I don't even know. There's a couple guys here. I mean, I guess I'll give Kawhi a first star. I mean, he was a plus 24 with 20 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists in just 27 minutes. I mean, no big. I guess I'll give Pascal the second star, 16 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. Again, the numbers are depressed because like everyone else like just didn't actually play that a lot of minutes. So, okay, cool, 16 points. And then your third star, I'm going to give that to OG. Yeah. Some good plays for OG. 13 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. I'm going to give it to Monroe. Look, OG, you deserve it tonight, but Monroe just will never get that many opportunities to actually get one of these things. And whatever, these things don't matter. But, I'm going to show Monroe some love for helping the Raptors bust that zone defense that the Nets tried to execute in vain. But, there you go. Kawhi, Pascal, Monroe. And then in terms of the Gerald Henderson Award, that's got to go to D'Angelo Russell, baby. He was solid. He was really solid. 24 points, 6 rebounds, 9 assists. He was good. He was good, but, I mean, I don't know, man. It faded. It faded real quick. It faded real quick with him. Also, one of the things that struck me watching this game was just, like, the disparity between the Raptors now having Kawhi Leonard versus the Raptors. Remember when we signed DeMar Carroll in 2015 and like the jubilation, the sheer jubilation that the Raptors beat out, I think the Pistons were really hot on him, which should have really been a sign that this was not a good signing. But because the Pistons, when do they get a good signing? Like, it's literally never. But there was like sheer jubilation. The Raptors got DeMar Carroll. He came in, he talked about himself being the black Kyle Korver. He talked about sort of how Dwayne Casey wanted him to run more of the plays and sort of have more of a ball handling responsibility. And I'm like, man, he's going to be a great 3-and-D guy. He can hit threes. He can defend. He's exactly what the Raptors need. He can play some small ball 4. And then it's not his fault that he got injured. And it's really unfortunate that his career has sort of like just basically been derailed by that. But also, man, like, like the way he left the franchise and then like talked about all the trust issues and stuff. I mean, like, yo, I mean, I would not trust this man either to shoot open shot. Do you see him today? Like the amount of brick layups and brick threes he got. Like a couple of foul shots because he was jumping into people's arms, and it's like, okay, cool. But like Norm picked him off, dunked it. I mean, you know, that was satisfying to see. OG took it end to end, got the rebound. Damari was right on him, pressed on him. OG just took it end to end, unbothered by this 3-and-D specialist, and laid it in. Serge blocking him at the rim. I mean, it was just to go from Damari to go and then get Kawhi Leonard is just the biggest glow up of all time. And shit, I mean, that's a metaphor for the Raptors as a whole over the last We the North era. I mean, compared to what it was before, I mean, obviously the Vince era happened, but, you know, the whole Chris Bosh era, which, by the way, there's a great Open Gym episode remembering Chris Bosh. You know, he was back in Toronto for the Mandela event. And so, you know, Open Gym was able to catch up with Bosh, and I thought he was really open and honest and just, you know, affable. I mean, he's a really likable guy, and it's unfortunate, really unfortunate what happened to him health-wise that had to end his career early. But, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of dark years, man, a lot of dark years. And then the Raptors got Masai, and they glowed up. And then they glowed up even some more by going from Damari Carroll to Kawhi Leonard. Jesus Christ. Anyway, that does it for the podcast. I'm going to be back on Sunday. The Raptors play an early afternoon game in Washington, D.C. The Wizards had just defeated the Milwaukee Bucks. So thank you. Thank you, Washington. I mean, they've been all right. They're 5-3 since John Wall went down. It's back to everyone eats because Satoransky actually, you know, moves the ball. They're actually passing. I looked at the numbers recently. They're passing the ball 50 passes more per game as compared to when John Wall was there and in the 7 or 8 games since. And, you know, Milwaukee didn't have Giannis today, and they actually made it kind of close or, you know, whatever. But, I mean, hey, man, the Raptors have had lots of games without Kyle Lowry, without Kawhi Leonard, and they still win those games. And Milwaukee, you can't go one game without Giannis, huh? Mm. This is what happens. I've already talked about it. Like, the Milwaukee Bucks have had incredible health. You're not wishing bad health on anybody, right? But like, they've had incredible health. Let's just see what happens if they get some level of adversity. I just want to see. Eric Bledsoe, 7-21. Yikes. That's what a point guard should do for sure. Anyway, those are the podcasts. Be back on Sunday. I'll recap that one. And yeah, it's good times.